Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, F1 Weekly Edition news. I think I missed news. It's just F1 Weekly Edition.
F1 Weekly.
F1 news things. Getting you up to date with what's happening in the world of Formula One before we get underway for the Singapore GP weekend. It is finally race week. Thank the Lord. And this podcast is also once again sponsored by Elgato, you guessed it, our season-long partners and making us almost sound like professionals and hearing our insanity slowly creep in. Well, my insanity, especially over the course of this season, with all of this amazing equipment. So a big shout out to Elgato, as always. We're also live on Twitch right now. If you don't follow us on Twitch yet, go and do it. WTF1 Official. We do live quali practice and race watch-alongs. Don't know why I did it in that order. As well as some weekly stuff, went some reactive streams as well. So get involved, okay? So we've got some driver news. But before we get into that, there has been a five-star review, which we are now doing. We're reading out your five-star reviews. And this one comes in from MR with five R's from Australia. My best friends, in capital letters. Oh, always feel excited when a new episode comes out. The WTF1 folks represent the fandom's view, but are candid with their own thoughts. Seriously, always feeling like I'm a friend listening in. Forever and always the best F1 commentary, discussion, and news updates. Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's lovely.
It also adds, Tommy is washed.
I'm going to cry.
Oh, that's lovely.
How do you know? I cut that bit out. You weren't meant to read that.
Off your own Boomer account. Thank you, MR. I don't know why I keep calling you MR. I know that there are five R's. Emma, thank you so much for your wonderful, kind words there. Really do appreciate it. Now, let's get into some news. And the first one that was actually confirmed today, Zhou Guan Yu confirmed at Alfa Romeo. I don't think it was the biggest news in the world. It wasn't like, oh my God, wow, can't believe it. It was more of a, yeah, he deserves it. I think he worked for Wells, going to sign on again. And he did. He does, alongside Bottas for 2023. He is going to be pretty happy with that, I think. His first rookie season. I don't know why I said first, because rookie describes that. Has been decent. He was quite slow to start, and I thought, oh, hold on, what's going on here? Bottas is like beating the Mercedes. Zhou Guan Yu's not exactly doing that, but he sped up, and he's kind of sped up at the wrong time, because now he is, I would say, has been a match for Bottas in the last four or five races, if not beating him, and the car's a dog. Now, he has had terrible reliability, and I think he'd have a lot more than 6 points this year had his car not broken at every opportunity at the start of the season. Yeah, I think he's got room to grow, and quite an exciting prospect that a lot of people wrote off before he even arrived in the sport in pre-season 2022.
Yeah, people were acting like he was just a complete amateur that wasn't qualified to drive for F1, even though he had enough super license points, which is obviously a big thing at the moment, and had done well in Formula 2, if not spectacular. And yeah, if you look at it, if you just look at the championship table and go, Bottas is on 46 points and he's on 6, you go, wow, he's terrible. But he's definitely not. It is 100% what you're saying, that he was really unfortunate that he was, one, getting up to speed, but also just had such bad luck. I remember at the start of the season when the Alpha was actually good, and that was the time where you really needed to maximize the fact that a lot of the other midfielders hadn't caught up yet. And yeah, he'd had a few performances. I remember there was the odd thing where he'd bang it like P4 or something in a Q1 or a Q2, and you'd be like, hang on a minute, this, you know. And then you get into Q3 and his car would break down, or he'd get blocked by everyone and wouldn't be able to set a lap. Things like that seem to happen a lot at the start of the season. And that's when, you know, you're scoring all the points. Because if you actually look at Bottas's points since Azerbaijan, he's got a seventh at Canada and then no points since. No points at Silverstone, Austria, France, Hungary, Belgium, Netherlands and Italy. So that car is not a points scorer anymore. And in fact, Zhou Guan Yu himself did actually get points in the last race. So yeah, he's done a lot better towards the second half of the season, but unfortunately the car can't show it. So I think he deserves another chance, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Like you say, getting to grips with the car when the car was competitive is never going to be an easy feat, but he still got points on his debut, which is something that not many people can say. He's had a few little slip ups here and there. I think it was maybe during the sprint in Imola, if I remember correctly. He kind of lost control of the car and, that wasn't his finest moment. But generally, like, it's quite. Well, it's the way F1 works, but quite unfair that his points tally is not really representative of, I think, the talent that he's shown so far this year. But yeah, he's slotted in really well in the paddock. Seems like a really nice, lovely guy. Immaculate fashion sense. I know that's not really up there with the important things, but it's nice to have lots of personalities in the paddock and keep it nice and diverse and interesting. So yeah, I'm really happy for him. And hopefully he'll go on to have a successful 2023. Fingers crossed as well for his sake that we get the Chinese Grand Prix, because he's the first Chinese driver in Formula One. So having that will also be a nice little moment for him. But yeah, like you were saying, Tommy, before he even joined F1, before he even got his FP1 session with Alpine, people were saying, oh, he doesn't deserve it, all this kind of stuff. But I feel like he's good enough quality to have earned himself a seat for next year.
Absolutely, we love to
Gold
see it. I
star.
saw a very good point in the Twitch chat from I've just lost it now. Hold on, let me. Where is it? Oh, lost it now. That's really annoying. There you go. Clues in the Twitch chat. But does he love Nutella? That's the big question.
He likes
And
bubble tea, if you're
it's a
into
great
that.
segue into our next. That's why I was using it into our next point. And it's funny. I'll give you some context here because we have a WTF1 podcast sheet where we have all the bits and bobs we want to talk about and whatever. And Tommy usually fills these in. And for this one, he's put. And I'm a bit of a Ron Burgundy. Latifi confirms we won't be Williams next season. So I think I must have missed this press release, Tommy, where he's announced that we're not going to be racing for Williams next season.
Yeah, did you not know? We were sharing the drive between the three of us for next
Oh,
season, but sadly,
wow.
yeah. Sadly it's
Oh,
fallen through.
sadly,
We didn't
not
like
top 100
Nutella
driver in my
enough.
book.
Yeah, we didn't like Nutella enough, so we didn't get
That's
the seat.
literally that's the job interview. You have to do a taste test and yeah, figure out which one Nutella is. But yes, Latifi confirms he won't be with Williams next season. What can you
Oh
say?
no,
Like
anything.
what can I say? To be fair, the man has the same birthday as me, so I feel like I have a connection there, and
We've
it's
done
going to
all
be.
this talking about Nicholas Latifi, and only now you mention you have the
Oh, I
same
think I've mentioned
birthday
it
as him.
before, but.
Oh,
You know, I
sorry.
felt like we had a connection there, but that's kind of where it ended, really. I think that his career
You don't have a rich
never
daddy
really got
in
off.
Canadian.
You can't be getting beaten by a by someone who has never driven in a Formula One session properly before, and then being like sassy in the media. Oh, you know, well, if the car had been up there, you know, it's more of a car that can be not be overtaken, but can't really do much overtaking. And it's all this blah, blah, blah. Just wasn't good enough. We can move on. Loved Nutella, didn't he? But that's kind of where it ends.
I know that this is how Formula One works, but there is a part of me that's actually a little bit sad at seeing Latifi go, just because he brought a lot of fun
Nutella.
and good feel good moments feel good moments with him, like his purple sector one for the, was it Hungarian Grand Prix, and how he
I'm
finished
sorry,
feel good
the
moment.
only that's the only feel-good moment
But
because it was so out of the ordinary that it
yes,
was.
and he did it. He did those little things. He got, the points in Hungary last year. It's clear everything just good happened in Hungary. Like, it is a nice little thing when he did something well, because everybody would bring out the go Tifi memes and all this kind of stuff. And it's not in like a horrible, mean, bullying way. It's like, oh my God, this guy that sometimes we might not expect a great deal from has done something amazing. And it was like a really nice boost of good, happy vibes in
I
the
would.
F1 community, which
So
we're
what we
quite short
want,
on at the moment, I'm not gonna lie. There we go.
True. So what we want is a driver that's absolutely terrible, but does one good sector a year.
Literally, all he did was one good sector and still started 20th, Katie, and you said that was a good moment for him.
It was a good moment for the F1 community of seeing it going, oh my God, Latifi! And then
I will miss the memes. Yeah, there won't be anyone really good meme-worthy, and now we've lost Mazepin and Latifi. You know, who's going to finish 21st in a 20 driver championship now?
In two of the three seasons that he races in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not... Yeah, it's, for me, agreed, love the memes, but it's time to go.
It's time to go!
Yeah, he's just not delivered. Oh, like you say, he can't beat... If you can't beat De Vries that's just rocked up and done 25 minutes of FP3, it's no surprise, really.
Yeah, that was the final nail in the coffin, I think, for Latifi. Yeah. FP3 topped that, though, didn't he? And got to Q3 in Silverstone, which was the only actual real achievement.
Yeah, he did that.
And then, I know, and Hungary and scoring points there, I guess, last year. And, you know, I mean, the luckiest thing ever for Bottas to bowl everyone out the way. But still, he scored points. So it was a good moment for him. But
It's quite a funny stat that the highest scoring Williams driver, like the best result from Williams for the last 5 seasons in a full race distance is that Latifi P7.
Full race distance,
because we're not counting George's.
Yeah. Although it was a great 2 laps behind the safety car, personally.
It was good.
Right, next bit of news. Tsunoda confirmed at AlphaTauri for another year. I'll just pass over to Tom Bellingham, the Yuki Tsunoda correspondent, to give us his thoughts, because that will take around 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay, yeah. Very pleased, of course, because... Again, like Tsunoda a lot. I think he's done a lot better this year. Been in luck at times. We said this in our ABCDEF1 mid-season rankings, where he's either done something really good or just had a race where he'll just spin or crash. And I think he was the driver, wasn't he, where he'd barely got any Cs in I don't think he had a single C in ABCDEF1, because he'd either do something, a good race where you're like, yeah, Tsunoda seems to be improving, and then the next race he'd finish 16th, get a drive-through penalty and spin off. Two laps down, and you'd be like, what on earth has happened here? So I think if I put my bias aside, he is very fortunate that the Red Bull driver program is not very good anymore in terms of the talent coming through, because it's insane to me that 10 years ago you'd have people like Da Costa winning loads of stuff and can't even get a Formula One drive, and now it seems like they don't have anyone ready, even to the point where if Gasly ends up going to Alpine, they don't even want to put a Red Bull Junior in and they're looking elsewhere. So he's fortunate in that way, but I hope that he kind of continues improving and then cuts out, if he cuts out more mistakes next year and just shows a bit more, then yeah, fair play to him.
I guess I did actually, jokingly send it to Tommy. My thoughts, yeah, great. You know, I think as Tommy says, like, he hasn't blown us away, but AlphaTauri have been pretty shocking just in general this year, that maybe some poor performances haven't really mattered so much in terms of the spotlight being on him, because they've been fighting at the tail end of the points, if that. Gasly's had the odd occasion where he's been really good, but nowhere near what we saw previously. I think it's a safer bet for Tsunoda to stay in with a bit of experience under his belt than taking someone new from the Red Bull Driver Academy, which no one's really setting the world alight there.
No, I think that's bang on. I mean, with Gasly, although he's signed the contract to be there next year, everyone's umming and ahhing, is he going to stay there? Could he make the switch to Alpine? So I guess it's also a good thing for AlphaTauri to lock Tsunoda in, because although sometimes he can be a tad crash happy and all this kind of stuff, he has the knowledge of that car, the understanding of that car, and should hopefully be a safe pair of hands next year if... they have to bring somebody else in to replace Gasly if he moves away.
Indeed. So we've got 3 seats left, maybe. Who goes there? Who goes there? So we've got...
Yeah, it's me. Us three. Haas.
We've got a seat at Haas.
I'll take Haas for the team.
You're going to Haas, Katie?
I'll go to Haas. Okay. There's 3 seats, three of us.
Well, confirm that we aren't going to Williams, so... That's
I'll take one for the team. I'll go to Haas.
Who do we actually think is going to go to Haas?
Me.
Hülkenberg or Giovinazzi? Which?
Gio.
I think they'd sign Gio over Hulk.
Yeah.
Although I'd love Hulk and K-Mag, the fireworks there. If they didn't release the merch with the whole suck my balls, I don't know if I can say it on podcast, but we've said it anyway. If they don't make me like merch, if they sign those two drivers, then Haas, pack up and go now. Give your place to Andretti. Just stop.
I don't think they will, though, Katie, somehow.
Well, in that case...
Oh, we hope they're not going to fall out. What should we do? Let's launch a line of merch.
I love it.
Yeah, it's... We're always complaining, and this is, I'm going to be Twitch Tommy here, but we're always complaining that there's not enough seats in Formula One and there's too much talent to get into these seats. And now we're talking between Nico Hülkenberg and Giovinazzi for a seat in F1. Is that really, are they two particularly good options? I don't think so,
really.
Personally. I know I've been quite brutal to Mick, but I would literally pick Mick over those two. That's how
I feel. A bit bad for Fittipaldi because he's also never involved in these conversations. Like, he's just sort of sits there, gets a bit dusty over the year because they never use him, and then they might have to bring him out for like replacing Grosjean, or if Nikita Mazepin gets spinned off. But like, he's done nothing else. He's sort of just doing sponsored stuff, but his name is never mentioned in any of these things.
If they've got a young, because they've kind of said they maybe want a bit more experience, even though K-Mag's meant to be the experienced driver, and then you'd think you'd put a young driver next to him, maybe like Robert Schwartzman or something like that. Wouldn't mind, but it does feel like it's going to be Giovinazzi.
Schwartzman over Schumacher, who's already got a couple of years in F1.
Yeah, as a basically see if he's any better than it. But I don't... Hülkenberg and Gio, to me, just seem like such weak options.
I think Hulk would probably perform the best, but just doesn't have that much longevity
left in
his career. Basically, to answer your question, we don't know.
it
depends
what
route they go down.
Yeah.
Other seats, Alpine. They had their little shootout, didn't they, in their car?
Didn't hear a word from it.
Nope. Nothing. We thought they should do the opposite and do an X Factor for the Alpine seat. Didn't happen, unfortunately.
The only thing I've heard from Alpine is them just moaning, like, particularly Rossi. It just sounds like the most petulant child. Like, oh, it's going to be Astri's left us, and I'm just going to talk about it all the time rather than admitting that we should have promoted him.
Didn't he say, right, we're going to draw a line here, you know, it's done, blah, 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 blah. And then this week he's come out and said, well, this whole thing will now be carried with Oscar Piastri's career, even if he becomes the next Michael Schumacher.
If he becomes the next Michael Schumacher, Alpine are the ones that are going to look really idiotic, not Oscar Piastri. Yeah. So, he's just... it's spectacularly bad. And Alpine are just more negative press. Let's just keep going and going and going. They don't look particularly clever with it all. And again, it makes you think, why would you want to go there? Because it's just making the bad vibe there look kind of become public, right? That's what we've said, you know, that Ricardo's gone. He left, Alonso left, even like Alan Prost left and said it, you know, that this Rossi guy.
Yeah, they kicked him and Alan out. That's not good.
Yeah, so
Cyril's gone.
Yeah, so it doesn't look good for them. I don't know who they're going to go with. Again, it kind of, I feel like De Vries is probably going to be the one that decides and why it's waiting so long. And then also Gasly, whether they can get Gasly or not.
I don't think that's happening, is it?
I don't think Gasly will want to go to partner Esteban. I think you've got to be really, really desperate to make that jump.
I don't know. I think Gasly would. Like, put the drama aside, Alpine's a much better opportunity to win a race than AlphaTauri. So.
Yeah, but is Gasly still deluded enough to think he's going to go back to Red Bull?
Deluded?
Yes.
Well, pop off.
Well, it's true, but...
he still talks about it.
Yeah, he does.
Regardless if he's talented enough to be there, like, I don't think it'll ever happen. Well, they've signed Checo now, haven't they, until 2024, but...
We need Gasly and Ocon for the controversy.
Oh, yeah. Ocon has had so much controversy with teammates and then put in someone that he actively hates. Like, imagine how right, bad that
come
would
on.
Be.
How legit actually is that? Has he confirmed this?
They do not like each other.
They've confirmed they don't like each other and don't speak and stuff. So, yeah, it would be hilarious.
Yeah, but hate? Or just a bit of a dislike?
Yeah, just don't, they don't speak
let's not,
anymore.
Let's not
strongly they were, dislike.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so fireworks.
So I'm Alpine... Sure.
Permanently mic them up, basically, if they end up as teammates. Yeah. And Drive to Survive will have a whole miniseries on it.
Okay, so who's going to happen?
Gasly. If it's not Gasly, it's De Vries.
You reckon De Vries is going to get an Alpine seat? Surely not. I don't see that.
They've not got many good options, have they?
Who did they have testing?
They had Colton Herta, Doohan,
Gio
and De Vries. It's
really an underwhelming lineup. Sorry, no offense to those four, but
it is very much like 14th year of X Factor. Like, this is what's left. I haven't applied yet.
If Nick De Vries manages an Alpine seat, that is an unbelievable turnaround for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe Alpine think that with De Vries, like, they've lost out on Oscar and other talent and everyone's hyping them up. And there's so much hype around Nick De Vries at the moment. They're like, well, maybe we'll sign him because he could be the next biggest thing and we won't miss out this time. I don't know how they think, but yeah. I'll throw a curveball in and say, I think maybe Mick will go there.
Just because he did follow the bestie. Yeah, and he did follow the CEO, didn't he, or something recently?
Followed Rossi, I think. Yeah. Was it Rossi? Yeah. On Twitter.
Interesting. Cool. So essentially, still lots to go
on in the
private market. And then for Williams. Who replaces Gotifi?
Nick De Vries. Every season, again. Nick De Vries.
So if Gasly goes to Alpine, then De Vries goes to Williams. Okay. Yeah.
De Vries makes more sense.
If De Vries goes to Alpine,
Mercedes.
Then it's Sargent.
Sargent, okay.
Mm. Toto also got a good history of like helping aid people into that Williams seat, so I feel
Even
like he'll
if
do
he
the
did
same
say,
for De Vries.
I can't help you to the media, maybe that was a ploy. Maybe he was trying to make headlines. Either or, there you go. That's
100% professional opinions there.
Yeah, well, look, that's why people tune in. We're just mates. Exactly. We're just bouncing around. We're saying deluded this, blah, 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 that, you know, we just pop off. That is a big mug of tea. That is enormous.
And I've drank it already.
So when you say you've had 3 cups of tea, what you actually mean is you've had 3 litres of tea.
Yes.
Tommy, any other thoughts, any other feelings, any other weekly news vibes from yourself?
The McLaren livery looks quite cool.
Yes.
That's a new thing.
I thought
the
very,
horrible
very
blue sensitive. And looks good. Don't like the blue with the orange, doesn't work for me. Even though me and Matt are basically dressed like
yeah,
it,
and I can be the black bits on the
oh
livery.
Oh my god, we're the McLaren.
The McLaren.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
But yeah, there you go. I'm like, I really don't like orange, black, and light blue. And here we are.
Literally. And Katie wearing the WTF1 hoodie there, as you can see. Just caught a glimpse of the, there it is. What a logo. Katie, what did you make of the McLaren livery?
It was okay. It was a bit funky, bit of almost street arty. But orange
not
and pink are meant to be orange, like clash at colours that clash a little bit, but it works for delivery. So, but I don't know. They also released some sort of like half robot, half human weird design things, and I just didn't like that. It looked really weird. Have you seen that? It's like the race suits are going to be slightly.
Yeah, like they've got, they're like robots, and it's like cut away so you can see all their, you know, workings and stuff. Yeah, weird.
I won't say.
So that's. So that livery is for the next 2 races.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Singapore and Japan. Yeah.
Should be good. Should be good. And of course, I think another thing we need to speak about, which I tweeted about, and people were like, yeah, but mate, it's the normal weather, is Singapore and it being forecasted to be rain and thunderstorms throughout the entire weekend, which I still thought was an intriguing thing to see on the weather. Because then they're like, oh, no, this happens all the time. A lot of people, a lot of locals saying it rains during the day and it won't actually rain at night, stuff like that. But then other people going, yes, but also sometimes it rains cats and dogs. And I'm like, ah, cool.
Like 2017, was it?
Yeah.
A famous two Ferraris and Verstappen. That would be
the Ferrari tweet.
That would be a good.
Oh, yeah.
Ver collided with Rye.
Yeah.
Causing them all to go out or something. And it's like, we're just tweeting factual.
Somehow Fernando Alonso will get caught up in it as well.
Yeah. And still not get a podium. It'd still be a Red Bull and two Mercs on the podium or something. Fingers crossed. Okay. That's the race. Come on. Channeling midfield podium, please. Has to happen, surely.
Yeah, because a lot of people saying definitely not. The weather forecast says that for every day. And I'm like, no, on a couple of days that this week, it says it's sunny. So there is hope. A rainy Singapore could be just what we need for a Verstappen not winning every single race for the rest of the year. Won't be Leclerc.
Title back.
Yeah, I mean, look. Look, yeah. If Leclerc gets the... I've seen an amazing meme going around where it's like Leclerc on top of his car celebrating and then someone's edited the Wikipedia results to show how Leclerc would win the title if Verstappen, like... you know how you have that, the graph?
Yeah, would it be DNFs every race?
Yeah, it was like DNF, DNF, DNF. I was looking at it and I was like, I'm pretty sure that doesn't add up how they'd made it. But either or, it was there could have been a couple of 10th places in there for Verstappen and maybe a second or something. But wins and fastest laps from here to the end of the season is what Leclerc needs. So
still believe. Money.
Well done, Max Verstappen.
if Leclerc brings back 26 points,
championship back
I will be opening up the conversation. Do you see that F1 posted F1's greatest comebacks on the same week as Verstappen can win the title with like five races to go?
I love that. It's still my favorite thing that we posted that video and then discovered that the greatest comeback from a world title deficit will be Verstappen this year and may well win it by the biggest margin in the same year. That would be insane.
Just Ferrari things, hey?
Yeah,
just for other things. Okay, and finally, before we go, Tommy, who's going to win the Singapore Grand Prix? Go.
Carlos Sainz.
Katie Fairman, who is going to win
the
Singapore Grand Prix?
That's what I was going to say. Carlos Sainz.
Wow.
Can we just go for something different? I'll go...
No, you can go wherever you want.
Okay.
You're your own human. Is that what you're going to go for? you look like you were buffering for a second there.
Yeah, you were just paused. My brain...
And finally,
I'll go Sergio Perez. Totally different.
Wow. Okay. So both the number two drivers for you guys. Okay. And Matt Gallagher, who do you think is going to win the Singapore Grand Prix? I think Lewis Hamilton's going to win.
Interesting.
Wow. We're all expecting Sebastian a spicy Bell. Race then. Because if Carlos Sainz wins, if Silverstone's anything to go by, everybody needs to fall off the track or have some kind of penalty or have a broken car. Katie, Sergio Perez's current run of form would suggest that they're all DNFing in front of him. Is that fair?
Yeah, true.
And then for me, everybody is DNFing for the Mercedes to win.
Reality, Max wins by 40 seconds.
I won't be turning up for the podcast this week if that happens.
No, I'm going to quit.
Oh, don't mean.
You actually would. You'd be like, hey, guys. Tommy here. Mac, you'd have the cape round you. I don't need Matt. Yeah. I've got the lion on my back. Right.
I'd throw up if he said that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you never know. Right. There you go. That's been the WTF1 podcast. We're on video. So hi, everyone. And also thanks to audio listeners as well. Thank you to Twitch. We'll speak to you for a moment after we've signed off and said goodbye. But hashtag WTF1 podcast. Hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to get involved in the discussion. You can tell that it's like we're deliriously tired before the start of a back-to-back.
It's not good.
It's quite something.
We just had 3 weeks off.
I know, mad. Deliriousness has set in. We don't have a title fight, so we have to be crazy instead. There you go. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We've got an app, WTF1 app. Go download that for free off the App Store. We've got merch, shop.wtf1.com. Anything else to plug?
Team WTF1.
What's Grace going to be wearing this weekend?
Don't know. We'll see.
Okay, cool. And on that note, goodbye.
Bye.